Thank you, and thank you for coming today, and those beautiful, dedicated people who, because of public transport, have got here during the singing. The passage we're looking at is Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 4. I'll just read it. It's a short passage, so we can... Oh, there we go. I'll read it again. When Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will be clean." Immediately his leprosy was cleansed, and Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." So that's our reading. We're going to look at the context of this miracle. We're going to look at the leper, and then we're going to look at the Lord. The context, the leper, and the Lord, and then we'll look at the lesson that this passage is teaching us. The context. What is the context? What's going on in Matthew's gospel around this passage? Well, before this passage in Matthew chapter 8, we've just had Matthew's 5, 6, and 7, which, if you know Matthew's gospel, is the Sermon on the Mount. It is a beautiful, deep, challenging sermon. And Jesus talks about purity of heart, talks about if you're angry, that's murder, if you lust, that's adultery, that we should forgive our enemies, that we should be so truthful that we don't need to take an oath, that marriage is for life, that we should be humble in how we do our duties, whether it's giving to the poor, fasting, or praying, that we should be living for eternity, that we shouldn't be anxious and we should be content, and that we should live in such a way that we don't judge people, we bear good fruit, and we do to others as we would have done unto us. Now, just that brief summary I've just given condemns all of us. Read the whole thing. Listen to a good sermon series on it. I mean, Martin Lloyd-Jones, the preacher at Westminster Chapel, his book of sermons, I bought them in 2008. I can't get through them. It's like swimming in an ocean and you drown almost because it's beautiful and you realize, well, I don't live like that. And that's the context that Jesus cleanses this leper in. He's just preached the best sermon ever preached about purity of heart and holiness and love and forgiveness and kindness. And then he cleanses a leper, an outcast, one that's unclean. The holiness of God doesn't prevent people who genuinely seek him from finding him. God is holy and demands holiness of his people, and he's every right to do that. Indeed, he can't not, because that's his nature. But don't let that put you off getting to know God. Christians, unfortunately, I do it too, we do a terrible, almost balancing act. God's holiness on one side, God's love on another. And we try and get the balance just right. You know, we don't want to talk about God's holiness too much because it might put people off and might make him seem austere and unkind. So we'll talk about his love a bit. But we don't want to talk about his love in such a way that minimizes his holiness. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. Does the Bible talk about God's love like that? No. It exalts it. We're going to be looking at that next week, because I decided when I was outside what we're going to preach on next week. It's going to be Psalm 103 and Romans 8. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believed in him would not perish but have eternal life. And God's holiness is exalted in Scripture as well. The angels cry, holy, holy, holy. Forever and ever and ever. And it's these truths about God that enable us to read this passage, because that's what God is like. Pure, holy, righteous, and kind, loving, and welcoming. Even to those who are excluded. Because we read Leviticus 13. You must have known. That's why you told the bus to drive slowly, was it? You missed that. The long passage we read from Leviticus about how to treat lepers. They were excluded. They were deemed unclean. That doesn't stop Jesus from doing a miracle, from being welcoming and kind. Indeed, Jesus means what? Savior. As Matthew 1, the Gospel of Matthew begins, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus by name, Jesus by nature. Thanks be to God. So let's look at the leper. The leper. He had leprosy. He was unclean. That's what we read. And the leper, if they were unclean, they were excluded. They had to be cleansed, or they had to be at least quarantined. They had to isolate. Yeah, remember this? Social distancing. Yeah. It's funny reading that passage now. You think, yeah, that's what we had to do. If you got the test with those two bars in, especially 4 years ago, that was it. And everybody in your household had to do it too, didn't they? It started off, you had to do it for 7 days, but everybody who lived with you had to do it for 10, or something like that. The rules got confusing. My Facebook memory told me that around this time, 4 years ago, was when the Prime Minister opened everything up a bit. Eat out to help out. It was a fantastic idea, that, wasn't it? Hey? Sent the cases through the roof again. Nobody saw that coming, did they? But here we have in the Bible isolation for an illness, because that's what we should do. That's it. But the leper would have been unclean and excluded. He was a leper, and he came to the one who had just preached this magnificent sermon. Crowds were following him, but nothing would stop this leper from getting close to him. Nothing. This poor, ill man, an outcast, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a man of faith. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He's a man of faith. We're going to look at the second half of his statement. You can make me clean. You have the power. You can make me clean. You can get rid of this for me so that I don't have to submit. I don't have to isolate. I can get on with my life. You can do it. You know these laws that we all have to live under. You know what we're supposed to do. But you can get rid of it just by your own word. You have that power. You're a messenger of God. God's power, God's spirit works through you. He is a man of faith. And he was submissive. We're going to look at the first half of what he said. If you will. If you will. is submissive. If you don't want me to be healed, so be it. You ever been that brave in prayer? If this is my lot, I've not. As I say, I don't want to present myself as any great model of faithfulness. I was speaking to a brother, you'd know him if I named him, I'm not going to out of kindness to him. But he said, I don't want to work with people I know from church. And I said, being honest, neither would I. Because my boss, I got stressed on Wednesday, I got really stressed. And I didn't swear or shout or anything like that, but I got really annoyed with something that had happened, and he didn't see the best side of me. And I apologized to him, and he said to me, you know, you ruin your own days. You don't see yourself the way everybody else sees you, do you know that? You let yourself get under pressure for nothing. I suspect that I'm talking to many people who aren't like that too. But I can understand what the brother who said that to me meant, because to be honest, I wouldn't want that mood I was in. I wouldn't have wanted any of you to see me like that. So I'm not presenting myself as any great model of piety. But he says, if you will. Now, many well-meaning Christians are quite cruel with these passages. They say that if you say to God, if you will, Lord, it's an act of disbelief. You shouldn't say, Lord, heal me if you will, not what I will, but yours be done. They say, no, you should believe that God will heal you. And if you have enough faith, God will heal you. It's very damaging teaching. First of all, it's not true. It's not what the Bible teaches. Second of all, the Lord Jesus Christ on the night before he died said, yet not what I will, but yours be done. So if he can say it, the leper's okay saying it, and you're okay saying it. And there are times. And by the way, when there's times we have to accept our fate, it doesn't mean we slap a smile on our face and pretend we're happy about it. That's what I used to do. I remember when I got refused for ministry in 2011, the bishop rang me, as you do. I got a phone call from the Bishop of Manchester. I was coming out of the factory on Friday night, and his grace rang me to tell me they felt they couldn't accept my application to be a vicar. And he said, they felt they couldn't recommend you. And I knew that was going to happen because the whole conference I had to go to was a disaster from start to finish. And I was crushed. But I went round to my friend's house. She's an elderly lady who's a Christian. And I went with a big smile and said, they didn't recommend me. And she said, are you joking? And she said, why do you look so happy? Well, it's God's will, I said, and we should rejoice in God's will. Of course, I was being completely fake. I was dying inside. I thought, I've just dedicated years of my life. Years. The last year of university, I didn't concentrate as much on my studies as I should have done because I was doing this. And then the crash happened, and then we all realized our degrees weren't worth what we thought they would be. And I put everything into this, hoping there would be some redemption, and then they've just said, no. So it doesn't, when we say God's will be done, it's like Job. Job's in chapter 1 said God's will be done, but he said it through tears, he said it through grief, and he said it through pain. Again, as did the Lord Jesus Christ the night before he died. He didn't say it happy-go-lucky with a big grin on his face, dancing round, singing Amazing Grace. This is probably an act of desperation. on the leper. If you will, you can make me clean. You're my last hope. You're my last hope. I say this because I know we all know people who are ill. We all know people who we want to see healed. Some of them have gone to the grave. I don't want to make people feel guilty for being ill. Don't want to make people feel like you should do nothing to put it right, and this goes on the internet, so I do feel the weight of responsibility in what I say. But the leper was unclean, excluded, a man of faith, and a man who submitted to God's providential will. And a man who probably was desperate. And how did the Lord Jesus respond to him? The Lord. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched them, saying, I will be clean. It is an interesting, we didn't read it, but it is interesting that if somebody touched a leprous person, they became ceremonially unclean themselves. That's a picture, we'll come to that when we look at the lessons. That's a picture of Jesus taking on our uncleanliness onto himself. Jesus is a friend of those who are unclean, those who are outcasts, and those who need rescuing. Why did he touch him? I mean, he could have just said it. He didn't need to touch him. It's to show his compassion. A touch is an intimate thing. You know, a loving touch, you know, a touch of the arm, a hug, a pat on the shoulder, a pat on the back, I'd say a slap in the face, but like that when somebody does that, chin up, me owed cock. That's what they say around here, or me owed mucker, you know. A fist bump or a handshake, it's something physical and intimate. And Jesus is doing that, why? To show compassion. Several times in the Gospel of Matthew, you'll say that Jesus, you'll hear Matthew write, he had compassion on them. Several times. He feeds the 5,000 and the 4,000, why? Because he had compassion on them. They were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And Wesley wrote in that great hymn, Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's full of compassion. And he displayed it by touching him. We see the Lord Jesus' willingness. He says, I will. He was willing to make him clean. He wanted to see this man welcomed into the kingdom, into ordinary life as well. Now, of course, why doesn't he heal everybody? That's a question you might be asking. You might not. You might wish I'd never said that. It might jolt you that I asked. I don't know. But in this particular instance, Jesus says, I will. I mean, CCP are looking at the first chapters of the book of Acts. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John heal a man who'd been outside the gates of the temple for quite a long time. I can't remember how many years it says off the top of my head. But he was in the gate of the temple. So how many times do you think Jesus walked past him? I believe the miracles of Jesus Christ are to show that the kingdom of God has come. And what it will be like There's an already but not yet. Yes, the kingdom of God has come. The consummation of it is to come, when there will be no more tears, no more sickness, no more sin, no more sorrow. But here we see his willingness. Then we'll see it completely, his willingness. We see his power. I will, his willingness, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. No special ritual, no isolation, no test that needs to be passed before you can rejoin society. Well, yeah, there is technically, sorry. I was thinking about context in COVID. Ignore that last point, sorry folks. But he could, it was gone. It was gone. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We see in this passage the power and willingness of our Lord Jesus Christ to rescue, to save, and to embrace those who are unclean and those who are outcasts. Because he is the image of the invisible God. The holiness, the righteousness, the love, the tender mercy of God are all seen in him in a person. You want to know what God's like? You ask your children or grandchildren or people who don't believe in God, say to you, what's your God like? Just say, like Jesus. Read the Gospels if you want to know what God's like. And interestingly enough, and this is why I had to backtrack on this, Jesus Christ is submissive. Verse 4, Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. Yes, his leprosy was gone, and yes, technically, in a medical sense, he didn't need a test, but Jesus submits himself to God's law that he gave to the nation of Israel. And he tells this man to submit to it too. This man is Jewish, probably, the leper. Because the law of Moses was only given to the Jewish people. God's moral law for all nations is included in it. Not killing, not committing adultery and whatnot. But the law of Moses as a whole was given exclusively to Israel. So when people ask you, you're a Christian, and the Bible tells you not to wear mixed fabrics. Why do you wear mixed fabrics? You just say, the Bible doesn't tell me anywhere not to wear mixed fabrics. It tells Jewish people who lived under the law of Moses not to wear mixed fabrics. It doesn't tell anyone other than Jewish people. Jewish people had to follow this law concerning leprosy. Nobody else did. Yes, the principles in it about isolation when somebody's ill are very wise. So there's something scientific in the Bible there too, that we take for granted now. So just bear that in mind. This law, this law was given to the nation of Israel, and Jesus submitted himself and this man to it. Go to the temple. Go to the priest. Do what it says. This is what Scripture says. This is what we have to abide by. Because God's word meant that much to him. That's how much Jesus loved God. That's how much Jesus wanted to obey God. That's how much Jesus wanted to live his life according to the word of God revealed in Holy Scripture. Indeed, Jesus' preaching condemns us all. The way he lived, that condemns us even more. You know, the sort of idea that Jesus is our good example. If Jesus is just a good example, we're all in deep trouble. I need him as my saviour. I need him to rescue me more than I do. He is my example. I should try to be like him, but I can only do that because he's rescued me. So what lessons can we draw from this? Well, several. Jesus can be touched by unclean people. The main lesson from this is leprosy in the Bible, though leprosy itself isn't a sin, it was used in the Bible as a picture of sin. Sin is breaking God's commands. We've all done it several times a day. And add to it that we've got a sinful nature which every moment of our lives breaks God's commands. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our rescuer. And he wills and he is able to save. And he does it, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So like the leper, he's touched. He takes our uncleanness on himself, pays the debt for our sin, and gives us his righteousness. Jesus rescues us by the Spirit through the Word, through his saving life, death, resurrection, ascension, and coming again. Do you know this Jesus? Is he your Saviour and Lord? Have you received him and submitted yourself to him? Is he your all in all? If he's not, we'd invite you to do that today, just as you are. Amen.
Amen.